Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. I'm Mike, and I'm a recovered alcoholic, and I'm going to talk today about step six and seven. And what do I got? About 2 hours?
Uh-huh. 20 minutes. Do you want us to time you?
No, I'm good. Thank you. Thank
Okay.
you.
20
I
minutes.
should stop now. I've already put the dog to sleep. Give him a little slap there, Dorina. Tell him to pay attention, or he's not gonna get the full benefits if he sleeps through this. I'm sure he's a good dog. I wanted to talk about these steps because the workshop I'm doing with Michael K right now and others, it's where we're at really. People are working on their fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, and so I thought this would be a good opportunity to talk about these steps. There's a difference for these steps. I believe there's a difference between your first and second round of these than there is for somebody like me who's done numerous of them, numbers of them. And I say that because the first time I did a step six and seven, my spiritual life was way different. The first time I did it, I just went back and I was so thankful to have done my fourth and fifth and got this enormous amount of work out of the way that terrified me. Four and five both terrified me. That when I got to step six, I just went, yes, I don't want it anymore. Take it all. But the next day, I still had a lot of it because I hadn't really given the attention to step six that it requires. And can we just mute Lucia? Lucia? Thank you. So it just doesn't, I didn't give it the attention it needs. And maybe if this is your first or second round, you'll hear me loud and clear that this takes a lot more for me today than just going back for an hour reviewing the work I've done. I go a lot deeper with it today with step six and seven because it's where I want to it's where I want to become more God-centered. I want to go from self-centered to God-centered and I'm trying to do that when I come to AA, when I got to AA, 12-step recovery, whatever fellowship you're in. But when I got here the first time, I didn't have intentionally want to become God-centered. I know now that God was working in my life, but I was just looking for some relief from a lot of pain. That's all I wanted. I didn't want to go out and do God's will. I didn't want to go out and help other people. I just wanted to quit feeling like crap, and I didn't want to do drugs or alcohol anymore. That's as spiritual as I was back then. It was still all about me. Let's just take this pain away. Today it's a lot different. And it's like, how free do I want to be? It's one of those. And our book says we get home after doing our five and we take an hour and we reflect on everything and ask, did we skimp? Were we short on cement and blah blah. What I take from that is it's saying, Mike, did you do this to the best of your ability? And were you 100% honest as far as you know? Have you done all the work honestly to get here? And if I can answer that, then I'm gonna start on my step six. Now step six and seven are two paragraphs on page. Kim taught me this. If you're ever looking for step six and seven, you'll find them on page seven and six, which is 76. So oh boy, I don't know why I threw that in there, but there it is. But it's two little paragraphs, and I've had some maturity in this program now to reflect and look at Bill's readings and read Bill's book, The Language of the Heart, which I love, and all his other writings and books. And I go, why was this so? Why is there only these two little paragraphs? One of them's the prayer, the step seven prayer. And I think it's because it was black and white for Bill when he's writing this. You don't want this anymore, so you ask God to take it away. It doesn't need to be talked about for pages and pages. He was quite clear. It's white and black and white. Get rid of this stuff. So I get home now, and I spend a lot of time. I'm gonna get lynched for heresy here, but I don't even tell my sponsees to do their step six immediately because they're exhausted usually after a step five, emotionally exhausted. There's a box of Kleenex here. I just did one yesterday live here in my office. These people leave exhausted. They want to go get a Coke. They want to get something to eat, and they want to have a nap. They're done. So, but for me to say go home and do your six right now, or you're going to fail. They're going to fail. So I don't. I say, you know what? Take the rest of the day. Talk to your go see your partner, your kids. Do what you want. And tomorrow, with a fresh day, let's do your step six and seven. Because I want them to have the energy to put the time into it. And I need the energy to put the time into it. So I'm not jumping into six anymore because I've spent a lot of time on it. So, you know, we were given instincts, all of us, that help us stay alive. But when our instincts or desires exceed, they exceed their purpose. They exceed their not their purpose, they exceed their intended purpose. When those desires exceed their intended purpose, I'm amok, and I'm running and acting blindly, and I demand that I be supplied with more satisfactions than are possible, than you can give me. And then these desires and instincts become character defects for me. I've read something. I was studying this. I've been looking at step six and seven for a while, because I have things, especially during COVID. But research showing us that you can Google something called seven ancient instincts, and it shows that our primary emotional systems, our primary emotional systems, has seven instincts. They're seeking, rage, fear, lust, care, grief, and it was a grief slash panic, and play. But I always wanted certain ones, you know, like lust and play, and I wanted them at levels that nobody could deliver to me, that nobody could satisfy me with. And these drug me down, and these become character defects. So I have to look at my step four and five. I take these back. I look at them. I identify when I go to step six, I don't say God. And however I do things is how I'm doing them. I don't have a book that says, you know, I follow the big book. So just because I said it doesn't make it so. But what I do is I now look at I don't say, God, please remove my fear. I got a lot of fears. So I identify each one of them because some are more severe than the others, and some eat me up more than others. And so if I just say, God, remove all my fear, I'm gonna also set myself up for failure because the big one's gonna pop out tomorrow, and I'm not gonna give the little one a chance to go away. So if I identify each one of my fears one by one, and I know that this is gonna sound cumbersome, but I will look at them and I will say on my fears, I'll say, God, take away my fear of X. And then I'll say the seven-step prayer. And then I'll do it again for my next fear. And if I have 10 fears, I'm going to say the seven, I'm going to name them out loud, and I'm going to say the seven-step prayer 10 times. This has given me better, more relief than I used to get. I used to still hang on to so many things after step five, and it frustrated me. And it was because I wasn't reading deep enough into six and seven, and I wasn't trying to work them enough. Step six takes some work. I got to be willing to let that stuff go. I know on page 63 of my 12 by 12, 12 steps, 12 traditions, it says when a person is capable of enough willingness and honesty to try repeatedly step six on all his her faults without any reservation whatever, they have indeed come a long way spiritually. And I feel that when I'm doing this work. And that, the same goes for my resentments. If I have resentments, I name them. I name them and I say the seven-step prayer. And I'll put as much time into my step six as I have to do and my step seven, which is simply for me, the prayer. I heard Sandy Beach one time. I was listening to his tape and I've thought about this a lot. You know, I heard this years ago and Sandy said, step seven is the only perfect step in the 12 steps. And Sandy says it's perfect because God does it. I don't do it. And God doesn't do anything imperfectly. And I kind of like that. I liked it when I, you know, I love Sandy Beach. And when he said that, I went, you know, it's true. Because I'm asking God to do the work here. I've done all the other work. I'm asking God to do the work. Do all the work. But God can't do the work if I don't let it go. You know, and these 12 steps, it's a continuous process of letting go. I'm letting go of things every day, attachments and resentments and fears. Lust. Oh, I said lust and the dog jumped to attention. Somebody's going to need a walk after. So I have to get down and give all this the attention it needs in step six. You know, I have to be careful. When I mean we, and when I say we, I mean us. So we need to be careful that. I hear a couple things. No, I can't give this up yet. So for me, that implies you still have willingness. No, I can't give this up yet. I do believe that when we ask people in step six, we use the word entirely. It's very difficult for a lot of people to do this entirely thing. And like Bill, I'm a bit of a salesman. I want people coming back because I know what kind of a life they can get out of this. So I want to take the hard yes and no's away, you know. I want them coming back and thinking they can succeed a little at a time until they get this thing. So no, I can't give this up yet. And the other one that scares me to hear it, I will never give this up. And that implies a complete unwillingness. And I think it's a very dangerous ground for any of us to stand on. It'll kill us. It'll kill me if I'm not going to give this. I will never give that up. So I understand if some of them are difficult to give up. But if you start, and we've heard this from our sponsor, we've heard it in workshops. If you can start with the easier ones first, it's like step nine. If you can start with the easier ones first, spiritually, you'll be driven to get to the end. The satisfaction that you'll feel, that I feel, drives me. And that happened to me on my nine, but I'm not on nine now. So it's like that for the better I feel, the more I want to give some of this crap up. I want to get rid of version one and have version two of Mike running around the world now and dealing with my wife and my kids. And I just want to be better, but I don't want to have these failures. And so I want to really encourage people to start with the easier ones first. Like I said, I'm a salesman. I want them coming back. I don't want to scare them away. I want them coming back, because they will get the life that I've got. And I want that for them. I want the best for everybody who's here. Step six, it says it's the step that separates the men from the boys. I corrected that now and says it, you know, with my own writing, because I've learned that in BBA that I can scratch stuff out. And so I've put it separates the adults from the children. And I believe it does. I think I think it separates whether I'm striving for my for what I want or what God wants. Am I striving for my objectives or am I striving for God's objectives? And that will separate the children from the adults. The adults here are striving for God's objectives. The children in this room are striving for their own objectives still. How can I get what I want? So be specific. That's the other thing. And I talked about it. Be specific about what you want to have removed. I don't want to say take away my resentments. I want to say take away my resentment against Mr. X, Mrs. C, Miss, you know, I want these resentments taken away. And I want to pay the time to them. And I'm going to name them. I'm going to say them and I'm going to pray them. I try all the time to replace a defect with something good. You know, it's like I'm sure you've heard that I came with this hole in me and I filled it. It was a God hole, and now I try to fill that with goodness, you know, with kindness. Just going to the store and being kinder. Yesterday I was with motor vehicles. Oh my God. You know. Don't people work? I'm retired. I waited to go on Tuesday and it was an hour and a half wait just to get to the line to do 2 minutes worth of work. And but you know what? I got there and I'm just so happy to be this person today that I can be that kind to this girl who's just got one customer after another after another after another. She's like 20 years old. She's exhausted and it's like 1:30 in the afternoon. And she's I'm glad I can bring that. But I don't bring it. God instills that to me. God encourages me. You know, God watches me. How, when I get rid of my defect, when I'm acting in my defects, God's watching me. What would God think of how I acted today? That's how I keep Mike on track. I don't say, what would Pat think if I was an ass today? What would God think if I was? I shared with a few of you that a few weeks ago, I came out of a meditation that brought me to tears, and I have the card. I keep it. It's sitting here in front of my computer every day. I had this meditation. It was 3 weeks ago. I was speaking at an AA roundup in northern Saskatchewan, and I was meditating that day. I was, you know, I had to do a workshop, and I had to speak Saturday night, and I was in fear. And I went into this meditation. I came out of this meditation and I heard God say, Mike, I want to be in fellowship with you today. And I had this sense of relief. Made me tear up a bit, but I had this sense of relief that, yeah, I'm not running this show. God wants me to go into this conference with him. So I can address my character defects at any time and any place. I was in a little motel that I don't think many people here would have stayed in, called the Ivanhoe, built in about 1968. And there I was, sitting on a chair in the Ivanhoe in Lloydminster, Saskatchewan. And God said, Mike, take me with you. Mike, I want to be in fellowship with you because I told God I had some character defects and they were scaring me today and I needed help. And now every day I come to my computer and I look at this, and that bakery card there says, I want to be in fellowship with you today. God tells me this every day. And God will tell you that every day. If you do your six, ask for relief in your seven, and don't hang on to these things. They've done you no good so far. And they'll do you no good going forward. But peace and happiness will do wonders for you, your family, and everybody you come in contact with. And when I was drunk, I affected a lot of people. But when I'm sober, I affect a lot of people too, and I want to affect them. I hope that girl went and told her mother, you should have seen this old guy that came in today. God, he was nice. I hope she did. I want to create a ripple effect, and I know everybody here wants to have a ripple effect with their recovery. Be kind, be good, ask God to help you. Thank you.
What a beautiful message. See?